Now, I thought Twilight and New Moon were bad, but Eclipse blows them out of the water with just how fucking bad it is.
You fucking suck.
Welcome to Super Podcast, episode 48. I'm Super Marcy, your awesome host. And with me today, as always, well, not always, but usually, is my co-host, Bede, a.k.a. the Terrible Australian. So, hello, Bede.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
I'm very hot. How are you?
Well, I'm very cool because I'm under the nice, cool air conditioner.
Well, I don't have air conditioning where I am. I just have a fan. But it's too damn hot.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. So, Bede, yes. Tell us, for this episode, why are you a terrible Australian?
Alrighty, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Sex in the City 2.
I'm banning you from the podcast.
You remember Marcy a couple of while ago? You remember Marcy a while ago on Twitter, like, well, I said, based on the reviews, it seems like Sex and the City 2 might be the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen of chick flicks.
Yes.
You remember when I said that?
Yes, I do.
It is the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen of the chick flicks.
Doesn't have explosions and racist robots and...
It doesn't have explosions, but it does have sort of very somewhat racist characters.
Speaking of racism... That will segue into our guests who are not Australian, and we sometimes might be a little racist against them because we blame them for everything.
I was going to say, are you saying we're racist?
No, I'm saying Bede and I are racist. So anyway, please welcome Nick the Canadian Bacon and Pat the other Canadian who we don't call Bacon to the show.
Hello, Marcy.
That was an awful introduction.
Oh, baby.
Hello.
Interesting.
I'm
going to be Bede today. Or no, fuck it. Shit, I couldn't do it.
That's not Australian. That's like really bad British.
Yes, it's British.
It's British.
Nobody can
that's
do an Australian accent.
That's a knife. That's all I can do.
That's not a knife. That's a knife. Oh. That's not a knife. That's a spoon.
It's a spoon.
I've seen a knife spoony before.
Hey, not bad, not bad.
And while you're cooling off in your air conditioners, we're up here in freezing fucking cold Canada with the fireplace.
Yeah, speak for yourself, man. I'm the one with the wind chill. That's like... going down to minus 30. I shouldn't say minus 30, but it's like minus 20 Celsius, which is not Fahrenheit.
Quit here, bitch.
Might as well be.
Well, you know what the cure is for cold weather?
Hot showers.
I was going to say hot chicks.
Hot chicks in hot showers.
Hot chicks in bikinis?
Yes.
Hot showers.
In hot showers.
I was going to say Ray Stevenson putting his nose back in place with a pencil.
What?
Did you see Punisher Warzone?
No, but I know what scene you're talking about.
Well, come on! How could you not see that? That was like...
Because the movie didn't have Thomas Jane as the Punisher.
Thomas Jane is the Punisher.
Yeah, Ray Stevenson, he like looks like Frank Castle, if he were real.
But he's not real.
He looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Anyway, this is so not going to segue into the topic of the show, which is...
Your people punished.
It's a discussion of ways Marcy will punish you. No, not really. That's for another podcast. The actual topic is we're going to discuss what we've seen recently. So, to start us off, I'm going to go to Pat, and you're going to tell us about a movie that you recently reviewed on Blu-ray.
Oh, jeez. Okay. This is only coming up just because I name dropped both Marcy and Bede in the review.
Oh yeah, baby.
And this was actually, I had watched this I would say last weekend, and I was prepared. I was prepared for the worst, and this really was, well, the worst, but it's an experience. I'm talking about Troll 2.
And this was the movie that Bede was totally lobbying for you to get to review as well.
Yes, Arrow must have been hearing the podcast. That's why he's going to see
The Arrow must have been hearing that and just, you know, he's like, you know what, I'm going to screw with Pat today and I'm going to send him this. And yeah, so basically, if you haven't heard about this movie, you probably have been living under a rock. Well, I shouldn't say living under a rock, but I mean, you probably haven't seen that many movies, especially ones like this. Basically, where do I start?
The dad is hot.
So the dad, he sort of looks like Henry Rollins if Henry Rollins was blonde and was not Henry Rollins scary. What else is it? He loves his hospitality and don't dare piss on it.
Bede often pisses on hospitality.
He also tightens his belt to avoid hunger pains.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you tighten your belt to avoid hunger pains?
I do.
I know I don't.
I don't.
I don't wear a belt.
Well, there you go.
I use that for other things.
And
fixed belts are hot.
Well, anyways, continue, Pat.
Anyway, the dad is hot.
There's a variety of things I've learned from this movie.
Like vegetarians are evil?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say vegetarians are evil, but I would say that fathers can threaten and will threaten to cut off and dine on your genitalia of immature males if you're dating their daughter.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yes, and the only way to stop people from eating food is by peeing on it. Your long dead grandfather can appear only to you and stop time and offer you items such as Molotov cocktails, bologna sandwiches, and fire extinguishers.
And you accidentally appear to the wrong person, and then only then will your parents believe you.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
And
that bologna sandwiches will save the world.
And there are people out there who can be seduced by an ear of corn.
Well, you know, if someone was offering me all that popcorn, I would so be down for that.
Oh, and vegetarians never have hemorrhoids.
Did I miss something?
Anyways,
well, I don't know. Do you? Well, I'm not a vegetarian.
The goblins in this movie—they're very fat for vegetarians.
Yeah, and they look very plasticky.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and that's another thing too. There are no trolls in this movie. Surprise, surprise.
I know. I'm very disappointed that there was not one single troll in this movie.
Yeah, well, you know, the movie was originally called Goblins. And it was changed to Troll 2 for marketing purposes, which was the style at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the costumes, mind you, the costumes were designed by an erotic actress that I'm sure Bede has heard of her, Laura Gemser of Black Emmanuel. Basically, it consisted of burlap, foam rubber, and latex masks with movable mouths.
My favorite costume was Arnold's rainbow plaid shorts, which I didn't shut up about in our commentary, as well as the peach colored shorts by Drew, I think it was.
Oh boy!
And that Elliot has like caterpillar like eyebrows that I really like for some reason.
Oh, and the best part about this film is Deborah Reed, who is the queen of
Hollywood.
Yep.
And she, her acting is, well, I don't know how to put it. It's beyond words. Put it that way.
It's over the top to the over the top goodness that you can get.
Yes.
That didn't make much sense.
Yes, me and Marcy, we're big fans of Deborah Reed.
And in fact, she commented the other day and told me that I really know my goblin stuff. So, as you can see, I am really, like, into the whole Troll 2 thing.
Damn straight.
Well, I gather you're more into it than I am, and I was, yeah.
Oh my god!
Yes, if you haven't seen that scene on YouTube, just go look up Troll 2. Just type in on YouTube Troll 2, and it'll come up. I'm sure it's right up there with Garbage Day.
Garbage Day.
Naughty.
I don't need to see that movie. I've seen Garbage Day.
But yes, it's
time to get shit faced.
Troll 2 is
like literally
it's probably the only movie that can get a documentary made about it called Best Worst Movie, and that in itself is a better made film than the actual movie it's based on.
Well, now they have to do that for The Room.
Yeah.
I think they should just get a camera to follow Tommy Wiseau around and just to see what he does every day. And then we'll see, like, at night he'll go back to his spaceship and, you know, regenerate his human parts and come back to Earth again.
Hi, friends. Plug me in so I can regenerate.
Well, hi, Mark. Let's go eat, huh?
Well, hi, Doc.
Yeah, really, huh? We're gonna go eat, huh?
Anyway. Well, I guess there's not much else we can really say about Troll 2 because, you know, Troll 2 is like our favorite thing on the podcast.
Yeah, basically, the only way to wrap this up is the fact that I'm pretty sure that Well, for one thing, the director was Italian. He just used a he went under a different name. His real name is Claudio Fragasso. And I'm pretty sure the entire crew was Italian.
Everyone was Italian, and they didn't speak English very well. And according to Best Worst Movie, his wife, who wrote the script, was a bit pissed off about vegetarians at the time. Which is why there's all that subtext about vegans in the movie.
Probably. And
chicken is
the only thing.
What?
Anyways.
Thank you.
The only bad thing about this Blu-ray, other than, well, the contents, although I will say that MGM must be Troll 2 fans because this is actually a pretty good looking film considering that it's less than perfect. Anyways, the only bad thing about this is that the documentary, which if you look on, I'm sure when you pick up a copy, the sticker's right on there, Best Worst Movie. It advertises the documentary, but the documentary isn't released yet on DVD. That would have been nice to have included, or the Riff Tracks commentary. That would have been nice. But no, we only get the trailer.
I think you mean the Bede and Marcy commentary should have been included.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The Bede and Marcy commentary. That would have been awesome. You can listen to the Bede and Marcy commentary by going to Marcy's website. I'm sure Marcy will tell you all about
what's the address? Come on.
Oh, yeah, supermarcy.com. And then just look up Troll 2 commentary and listen.
Yes.
Because Bede talks about getting... Bede talks about something happening with the Incredible Hulk in the commentary.
Yes.
And he asked me to edit it out, and I said, fuck no.
Yeah, but that was like a failed joke. Anyways.
Anyway.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, so yeah, that's one of the films that I've watched recently, and it's changed my life. Well, I wouldn't say changed my life, but it's given me a whole new perspective on vegetarians and just how low people can go.
And how evil they can be. That's
pretty much.
Yes. I'm offending people again. I'm sorry.
Next up on the, the thing.
Your bacon is here.
Yes, but I'm going to go next because I really have to talk about this movie and get all my hatred out. Okay, so I made the stupid Marcy's decision. Yes, I made the really stupid decision of deciding to watch the Twilight Saga Eclipse movie. And it's 2 hours. I'm never going to get back. Now, I thought Twilight and New Moon were bad, but Eclipse blows them out of the water with just how fucking bad it is.
Now, what's so bad about it?
Everything. Oh my god.
You sound like Gary Oldman there. Everyone.
Let's see. Where do I even begin? I mean, Bella just continues to get more boring, and I'm just sitting there going, and why the fuck are guys fighting over her? She's boring. Who the fuck wants to date this stupid bitch?
She's boring and she's so average looking. Like, there's nothing interesting.
I get the
her.
Point that she's supposed to be, you know,
she's
every girl.
She's a narcoleptic dream.
But, you know, she's supposed to be appealing to the girls because, you know, any girl can be like her. Why the fuck would any girl want to be a boring fucking retard like her? What? Marcy, she's not a role model.
A boring guy like Edward with a huge forehead.
Don't even get me started on Edward. Edward is a fucking moron. And then there's Jacob, who's also a moron. And it's the most retarded love triangle in the history of freaking romance. I mean...
Oh, but you wouldn't want to be swayed by some fucking shirtless retard telling you that, you know, you'll be safer with me, even though I'm a fucking werewolf that rips things to shreds?
It's so bad, like... He forces himself on her by kissing her, and then she reacts by trying to punch him in the face, but instead it looks like she punches a brick wall and breaks her hand, because apparently if you try and punch a werewolf, it's really hard. Which, you know, they just come out of nowhere to say so. And then later on she's suddenly really attracted to him and she wants to make out with him, and then Edward is all like, and it's like, and the freaking movie starts off with Edward sparkling, and I'm just like, duh.
You know what the sad part is? That movie is directed by one of my current favorite directors.
I cannot believe that he directed this turd.
David Slade, like, I can't even. I thought maybe he would add something to it, but obviously he was in it for the paycheck.
I think he shot himself in the head and then made this movie, and then afterwards he, like, you know, rejuvenated himself somehow and got his
head.
Well,
that's the whole thing. And then I think everybody forgot the fact that Bryce Dallas Howard is in this movie.
She's terrible. She's barely used. I don't know why the fuck they bothered replacing the character, because she adds nothing. She's barely in it.
Every fucking tween is going to go see it anyway, so I don't really think the studio cared.
It's so stupid. And don't even get me started on the big battle scene, which they build up for like 3 hours of movie for 2 seconds of a battle. And
when they're fighting in the field?
Yeah, there's not a single drop of blood. When they break limbs off the vampires, it's like they're glass. They don't bleed. There's no blood. It even sounds like they're breaking glass.
That's the scene where I always envisioned Chuck Norris walking out of the tree line. And
that would have made the movie much better. But it's so stupid. And the whole thing, like, Victoria creates these new vampires so they can kill Bella. because she needs to torture Edward. They're
more sparkly.
And it's like, this is so stupid. At least have a fucking point. I mean, there is no Where's point, Wesley and Snipes? It's just stupid.
We need fucking Wesley Snipes and Chris Christopherson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just, but you know, there wouldn't Chris be any satisfaction in them killing those vampires because they wouldn't bleed. They'd just snap like a twig. And then they'd sparkle.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
It's, I cannot, this movie, like, I watched 37 minutes of this movie. I had to turn it off. It was boring. It was so bad. And in
you were blown away by Dakota Fanning's riveting performance?
This is the worst thing she's ever done. Like, I thought she was bad in War of the Worlds, but she's worse in this.
Really?
Like, I could handle her annoyance and screaming in War of the Worlds. But here she's just like, oh, blah, 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 I'm a robot. Blah, 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 blah. Now I've got really bright red eyes. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, honestly, this is the first thing I wrote when I watched those 37 minutes, that I would get more pleasure out of massaging my eyeballs with razor blades. And the other thing that pisses me off is this movie has a lot of good-looking people in this movie, but they all look extremely ugly and stupid. The only one who comes out okay, and she's come out okay through all the movies, is Ashley Green. And it's probably because she doesn't have bleached blonde hair that, you know, makes her look
stupid. Now answer me this, though. Does Anna Kendrick look good?
She's barely in it, and she acts like an idiot.
What a fucking waste.
It really is. And, you know, going back to just the first movie when Bella first goes to the town and everyone wants to be her friend and everyone's in love with her. Well, you know what? I've been to new schools and that so doesn't happen. And it's like, you're really trying to appeal to the girls by, you know, making this really unrealistic look at high school. And it's like, you know what? It's bullshit. And you should not try and delude people about it. And, you know, one last thing I gotta add is, as ridiculous as they all look, the worst one is Jackson Rathbone as Jasper. Every movie, he looks worse and worse and just more ridiculous.
And, well, you know the next one's going to be ridiculous.
And he just takes the cake. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to massage my eyeballs before I go and watch the last one. So that's Marcy fucking hates Twilight, right?
But I have to ask about Marcy, that's how you really feel about this movie.
I loved it. It was the best movie ever. No, this is the worst piece of shit I've seen this year. And I am going to watch Paranormal Activity 2, and I can guarantee I am probably going to like that better than this.
Yeah, because
it's true.
If only that I know Micah is in it briefly, and I'm going to be all like, oh, Micah, you're the best bad boyfriend ever. Anyway, I'll pass it off to Nick.
Yay!
So what have you seen recently? I said, what have you watched recently that you wish to discuss with us?
Well, obviously saw Harry Potter, but we're not going to go into that very much as certain Potter. Fellows here have not seen it yet.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
That was the last movie.
That was the last one.
Oh, well, there we go.
See, that got ruined for me before I saw Half Blood Prince. So I was pretty pissed about that. But anyway, one that I did see recently was Roman Polanski's The Ghost Rider.
Ooh, I still need to see that.
That's a really good movie.
That was absolutely fantastic. Actually, one of my really close buddies, he recommended it to me. And
it's got Ewan McGregor, not really baby.
What's that?
I said it's got Ewan McGregor, baby.
That's true. With like when you got Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan James in the same flick, you know, it just begs to be seen. But yeah, it was really good. It was really smart. It was just a good, it was just a good mix of a lot of, you know, fantastic actors really coming into their own. And I mean, I'm not really a Roman Polanski fan, and given his whole legal situation, I still think he should be behind fucking bars, but that, excluding that fact, you know, I just thought it was a really, really good flick. I thought it was actually a very standout performance for Pierce, and I'm afraid that, like, it's going to be overlooked because of the whole situation with Roman and, you know, the fact that they're not going to, you know, put that kind of money into a movie like that where so much controversy. But no, it was definitely a good thrill, and just definitely wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. Yeah, so I highly recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, I need to see that. I've been wanting to watch it for a while. I just, as usual, haven't gotten around to it.
Twilight is gay.
What?
I have to say, and Twilight is gay, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
I need to add to your rant.
No, it's not gay. It's differently abled.
No, it's not anything. It's just a big pile of steaming shit.
And broccoli.
It's like Troll 2. If Troll 2 was not fun, put it that
no,
way.
No, Troll 2, yeah, I was going to say, Troll 2 is a fucking masterpiece.
The acting in Troll 2 is 1,000 times more convincing than the acting in Twilight. Like, you know, I'm so convinced with, oh, I love you, Edward, and Jacob, and then, and it's like, oh my god.
Why does everyone love me when I'm so fucking boring?
But it's like, none of it's convincing, and it's so stupid.
I don't know about you guys, but here in North America, we had a contest that was sponsored by Burger King, and these stupid fucking commercials, they basically consisted of a legion of fangirls invading Burger King and telling these people to either vote for Edward or vote for Jacob. And
Jesus fucking Christ, I was ready to kill somebody with that shit.
And if you voted, depending on who you voted on, you could have either won, I don't know, you could have won money or some artery-clogging shit that Burger King puts out, I don't know. But basically, it was just annoying as hell. And
I
really
had two people do that to me when the movie came out in the theater. Did you have anybody come up to you, Pat, and actually ask you which team you were for?
No, because I never go into Burger King, and two, if anyone said that to me, I would tell them to fuck off.
Actually, I did tell one guy to fuck off, who, and then it was, I mean, I knew the guy, and he was actually at work, and when the movie came out, and his girlfriend was a huge fan of it, and he walked in one day, he sat in his chair, he turned around, looked at me, so Nick, are you on Team Edward or Team Jacob? And I was like, fuck off.
I'm on team. Go fuck yourself, bitch.
Yeah. Fuck
oh,
him.
Yeah. I'm on team. Vampires don't sparkle in the daylight. They burn up and die a horrible fucking death. Yes. That's the team I'm on.
Yes. I wonder what would happen if we, like, sat these people down in front of, like, actually good vampire and good werewolf movies, like The Howling or Lost Boys. Or dog soldiers.
Well, Pat, you gotta understand, these people under, like, the actors and the directors and the writers and everybody involved with these movies have to know that these movies are shit.
There's a lot of talent involved in these movies, but somehow they all manage to fail. And you know why? Because Stephanie Meyer is a piece of shit who can't write for shit, and somehow she became successful, and it's an insult to anybody that has any kind of writing talent that doesn't get published.
Well, you know, the thing is if Stephen King says that you can't write worth a damn, then you probably can't write worth a damn.
Stephen King could write a masterpiece while he was fucking high on everything. This chick can't fucking write her way out of a fucking paper bag.
Nope.
And that's where all the problems lie, because they're using her shitty dialogue, they're using her shitty storylines.
Because I guarantee you guys, many years down the line, just like what fucking Mark Wahlberg just did to M. Night Shyamalan, someone's going to come out and they're going to say, you know what? These movies really fucking sucked.
I'm pretty sure Robert Pattinson had said that Twilight isn't very good.
He did say it, or?
I'm pretty sure he did. I think I remember him saying, they're not that good.
They're not good at all.
They're so bad, but anyway.
I remember watching that fight scene in Eclipse. Like, I saw a clip of, like, the big battle that you were talking about.
Yes, the Mars, big two-second battle.
Yeah, where they're, the CGI, where they're flipping around each other. I was like, the fucking first Chronicles of Narnia was more thrilling than this bullshit. And that was like, what, fucking 6 or 7 years ago? Even the CGI was more convincing. Total bullshit.
Yeah, it's...
Indeed. It's anyways, we're kind of getting off topic here.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, Twilight, I started the whole Twilight rant. Bede, do you want to hit us with a new movie?
Alrighty, my first pick of what I've seen recently, I saw the original 1969 version of True Grit that starred John Wayne. So I figured, because, you know, the Coen brothers have got their remake coming out, so I figured I'd go try to watch the original, and I did. And I have to say, it's I'm not a huge fan of westerns. Like, I like some of them.
You're like me. I'm not huge on the genre, but I'll still watch them, and, you know...
Yeah.
Sometimes they turn out to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I have the same mentality, too. And True Grit definitely is a very entertaining Western. John Wayne is really good in it, and I can definitely see why he won the Oscar for Best Actor for his performance, because his character is pretty awesome in the movie, even though I'm not really a huge John Wayne fan. And I was kind of... I'm more a Clint person, too, because Clint's westerns are definitely much more darker than John Wayne's, so that's probably why I'm sort of more into the darker westerns than the, you know, like the traditional, like, you know, the West is awesome and everybody's cool and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's a really good flick, and I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see what the Coen brothers do, because I know for a fact that their take on it is going to be a bit more grittier, pardon the pun, and a bit more darker than than John Wayne's original. So, yeah, that's the first one I saw recently. Has anyone else seen True Grit?
I haven't.
My dad probably seen it like 50 million times. He's such a big John Wayne fan and a Western fan in general. I personally haven't seen it recently. I keep on seeing John Wayne as Rooster Coburn with his eye patch and everything like that. But for the most part, I definitely have to agree that John Wayne probably is one of the quintessential Western actors, along with Clint Eastwood. It's like they basically made the genre what it is, and probably why there hasn't been a very, you know, an excellent Western film in a number of years. I can remember the assassination of Jesse James.
There's one that you must be forgetting about called Tombstone, starring Kurt Russell.
Oh, yes, yes, Tombstone. Yes. Coincidentally, yes, Tombstone. I saw then there's The Quick and the Dead.
I love The Quick and the Dead. Yeah, it's a fun movie. I love
not just because Gene Hackman's in it and Sam Raimi's directing it.
And Sharon Stone is hotter than shit in it.
And Leonardo DiCaprio dies in it.
Well, Leo is in there.
Spoilers.
I'm pretty sure that's revealed in the trailers. Hello.
I'm kind of disappointed that Bruce Campbell's scene didn't make it into that film, because, you know, it's Bruce Campbell, and who wouldn't want to see him get the crap kicked out of him, because it's a Sam Raimi movie.
I thought he was in the movie, because I remember he has like a blink or you might miss him role. I think Sharon Stone walks past him in the saloon.
He's a photographer.
originally he had a bigger role apparently, and he was either, I can't remember, it's in his autobiography, but originally he had a bigger scene in which it was either Sharon Stone or Gene Hackman kicks the crap out of him. Because he's
nice.
I would apply to him.
Apparently Sam said no, and that scene never was put in the movie.
Well, there's also another like massive scene that was cut out of the movie, and it's actually very, very hard to find. And because there was actually a very, like, very nude love scene between Sharon and Russell that, like, you freaking see boobs and all sorts of shit.
Yes,
like,
but we've seen her everything, so.
Yeah, it's Sharon Stone.
I said we've seen her everything. It's nothing new.
Yeah, we've seen a lot.
Yeah, we've seen pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't bring up that piece of shit.
Actually, sort of going back to True Grit, one of the things I was actually kind of surprised about while watching the movie, I didn't realize that these two guys were in it. Robert Duvall and the late great Dennis Hopper were also in the movie in small roles.
Yep,
they were.
Very.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper. Actually, it's funny that because in the movie, he actually plays a crazy person. He plays like a really, in the movie, it's not far off from what you said, but in the movie, he actually does play like a crazy person. Oh well, something he was like he panics a lot, and that's kind of hilarious to see Dennis Hopper do that. But and also, Marcy, you'll be excited about the character Robert Duvall plays in the movie, Barry Pepper actually plays in the remake.
Yeah, so that's... I'm totally down for that.
There's a guy I haven't seen in a long time.
By the way, I met the John Wayne wax figure that was designed after True Grit, and I showed you guys the photo in the chat room, so...
Yep, oh, man, I saw that.
Yes, and I've got my cowboy hat on, and I'm doing the pose. And his wax figure looked really good as well.
What's your name, girl?
Anyway,
better than the Joker figure that was based off of Heath Ledger, I'm sure.
That was at a different wax museum. That was like the budget wax museum.
It's like a hobo stole the Joker's clothes and decided to dress himself up. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. We'll go back to Pat if you've seen anything else you wish to discuss on the podcast.
Probably.
A little bit.
I've seen a couple of films that probably we will be hitting the DVD pub relatively, hopefully soon. One of them is the Children of the Corn remake. This was the 2009 remake, not the the one that's eventually going to be coming out eventually.
There's a remake?
Like I mentioned.
There's been a billion remakes of it for some reason.
It was like, basically, probably the reason why you haven't heard of it is because it's a sci-fi film. It was broadcast on sci-fi.
Is the one that you're talking about the one that starred David Anders?
Yeah, that's the one. I've seen that one too.
I saw like 5 minutes of it and I'm like, duh.
I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of the original, even though it had Linda Hamilton in it, and you know. But this one, the remake, this one actually stays closer to Stephen King's original short story, in as much as that you don't have the weird, the supernatural stuff that happens at the end. And it's actually got a bleaker ending to it. But also, the writing leaves a lot to be desired, if you can believe it. The script is just horrendous. It's like...
I agree.
You have lines like, put that into your gut and smoke it. It's like, how could you get away with something like that, straight-faced, and actually call yourself... you know, an honest movie. But that's like, that's actually a minor compared to having David Anders and Candice McClure are probably the worst protagonists you could ever have.
They are.
I
agree.
I could not like these two for the life of me. They're so. I know the idea is that their marriage is falling apart and everything like that, but Candice McClure, I wanted David Anders to just give her the boot. She was just so annoying. She railed on him for like everything from like, you know, everything from the small as just holding the map and or whatever it was to, you know, it was just so like you couldn't root for these people against these not very scary kids. The kids were not scary in this. I'm sorry.
Well, wasn't Isaac played by Cody from Dexter?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, how can he be scary? Like, Isaac in the original Children of the Corn. Now, that guy was kind of freaky because I can't remember the actor's name. I think it was John Franklin. Looked really just... You know what I mean? Like, even though that movie sucks ass, and the reason I like it is because it's so bad that it's good, and I laugh at it. But at least, like, he looked blah. You know what I mean?
Well, unlike that, Preston Bailey, he wears this hat that looks way too big on him, for one thing. It's not threatening. And basically, the kids look like they just, like, were playing dress up and they decided to try and be scary, and they're not. The really disturbing part about it is that there is this sex scene in the film with this one actress who probably wasn't even 18 in real life when the scene was shot. And the fact of the matter is that you cut to these kids that are jumping up and down and watching these two go at it the entire time. It's just like, it's like 10 kinds of wrong.
I saw that. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's just
that was very wrong.
Wrong.
I remember seeing that scene. Because it was on TV and I was like flipping channels and I kept going back to it even though I was like, you know, I sat and watched like a 10-minute block and just like, the. But then, you know, switching back just to see.
They dubbed in this older actresses like that. And it was just like, no, I don't want to see what I'm seeing. Really, it's just, Stephen King didn't want anything to do with this. What a surprise. So basically, they decided to stick his name on everywhere just to, like, you know, say, okay, yeah, well, this is our way of apologizing to you. I would still have been pissed off. And I mean, Donald P. Borchers, who he was originally involved in the original version of the film, really, this is just. You know, it looked good. I'll say this: the film looked good, but that's about it. It was just, you really. Basically, bottom line: sci-fi is where all franchises go to die in made-for-TV movies.
Everybody says that friggin' Skyline was
Skyline a sci-fi was movie.
Pure sci-fi. Yeah.
Well, I gotta say. Like, I mean, I'm not going to say, I got to ask, rather, how did the character of Malachi compare to the original, who was just awesome?
A child shall lead the...
Outlander, I have your woman!
I did like the idea of them getting away from the whole, you know, from the originals, sort of I don't want to say far-fetched, but it is just really sort of supernatural ending. Compared to this one, like I said, it sticks closer to the original short story, and it's actually bleaker, which is actually kind of nice, except for the fact that you have Preston Bailey right at the end trying to be scary when he's not, but, you know.
Actually, I can't remember the name of the movie, but there was a Children of the Corn movie made before the original 1984 version. It was like a short film. And
that was Disciples of the Corn, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it had some name like that, and you can find it on YouTube. And it's actually like a way better movie than the original, and most probably the sci-fi remake.
The thing is that generally you could tell basically that they were basing this off of a short story because they basically panned, you know, they just like expanded upon it in the worst possible way. It's really hard to do a film in some ways when you don't really have the script for it, and it shows it.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
Anyway, so we'll go back to me for something else I've seen recently. So on the weekend, I finally saw The Social Network.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought the movie was...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I thought the movie was pretty good. Like, definitely one of the best movies of the year, without a doubt.
Big time.
You know, it was something completely different from David Fincher, but a lot of it was really the script by Aaron Sorkin, because it was so brilliant.
You want to know something?
Hmm.
And the trailers are misleading. They actually
are. Thank you.
And that's because I thought I was going to hate this movie. I really did. And I love Fincher, and it made me sick to think that I didn't want to go see a David Fincher film. So, yeah, I agree with you, Marcy, when you were posting about that.
Yeah, the trailer is extremely misleading, and the movie that I saw was not the movie that I was, you know, expecting from the trailer at all.
No.
And I'm going to say this, and I know Bede doesn't like me saying it, but Rooney Mara is boring, and she's a bad actress, and she can fuck off. Thank you.
I thought she was really good in the film.
I thought she was really awful, and she's boring. She just sits there and reads her lines. And I'm like, gee, you're so good.
I like that scene where she's shown crying in her dorm after that guy breaks the news to her. It's actually kind of funny.
Actually, I thought that scene was funny. I mean, what he said about her, and like, this is why you do not go to the internet to take out your frustrations, because people are going to see it.
Well, that's why I was so unbelievably attached to the movie just based on the dialogue alone. The one scene where the twin brothers go to see the dean of Harvard to, talk about possibly... you know, a possible legal action against Zuckerberg. That is probably single-handedly one of the best written dialogue scenes of all time. And
I agree.
Just over and over. It just classic scene after classic scene. Amazing acting, even from Timberlake.
Oh, I really thought he was great, but I really did not like the character of Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't like the character of Sean Parker.
Well, they're all
the
eccentric.
Thing is that Mark Zuckerberg really is a dick in real life.
He seems like a dick. Everything I've seen and read about him, he seems like a dick. And
he's
all I want
really,
to do
though,
is punch him in the face and steal his money. But, you know.
You got to understand, though, like, when it comes to Mark, and to be honest with you, the only aspect of Mark's life in terms of Facebook, the only part that I was never a fan of him for was the way he treated Eduardo.
That broke my heart, I have to say. The one character I really connected with was Eduardo, and I thought he was, like, one of the more likable characters in the movie. And
he was the most sympathetic character
in
the movie.
He was, and what happened to him through the movie, it was breaking my heart, and I'm just like, Mark, you're a fuckhead.
Well, you want to know something, though? Everybody tried to fuck Mark left and right.
True.
From the get-go.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with what he did. Like, he created something that made him a shitload of money, and he's not going to have to work another day in his life.
But you know what? It was never about the money.
I know, but you know what? It all comes at a price.
It all comes at a price. And you're right about that.
And that was a really good point that the movie made as well.
He didn't give a shit. He didn't give a shit about the money. He just wanted Facebook to be his, and it was his. But the thing is, without Eduardo, Facebook would not be what it is today.
That's
without
it.
Providing some of the funding to put it on a server,
yeah.
To keep people running and writing code for it, and it's just things like that. But
he basically shit on his friend. I mean, at least in the movie, because I'm sure the events in real life happened a little bit differently. But the way I saw it in the movie was he really just shit on his friend.
Well,
Eduardo
didn't make it easy, though, I will admit, sometimes.
I can definitely relate to his actions. I know why he did what he did, because he felt like he was being shut out, and he just thought, fuck this, I don't want, I'm getting shut out, screw that, I'm going to go ahead and do what I think's right, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, like, one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie is, even though she was criminally underused... was, now I've lost my name.
Rashida Jones?
Rashida Jones, her last scene, with Mark at the end of it, saying that, you're not an asshole, you're just trying too hard to be one. You're the kind of guy where, you're too nice, or you're not confrontational enough to be one of the Harvard guys, who they think their fucking shit doesn't stink, and things like that. But it's just such a powerful scene, and God, that woman's hot. But I'm getting distracted now. But I totally agree with you. It was very misleading in the trailers, but fucking great movie. Aaron Sorkin, power.
I mean, if that man does not walk away with an award come next year, there's something criminally wrong.
Oh, he's winning the he's taking best.
He's got to win. He's got to win. Yeah, he's going to win for sure. No less something like, but then again, we all thought that Up in the Air was going to win Best Adapted Screenplay last year. And
I didn't.
Look what happened.
I know we had many discussions about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did have many discussions.
Oh, my God.
I love that movie. Oh, I'm going to so send you a virtual punch, Nick.
Honestly, it's already beat. I tried. I'll tell you what, though, it wasn't as painful as The American. But that's another story.
And Nick totally...
I'm starting to think you don't like George Clooney, Nick.
You want to know something?
How can he not like George Clooney? He calls himself Seth Gecko.
Exactly. He's my... fucking love George Clooney. I think George Clooney needs to get another agent. He is
but anyway,
made two
The Social Network.
Of my... most unliked movies of the last couple years.
The Social
Anyway,
Network.
I'm sorry, Marcy, I'm taking your...
Yeah, you are, bitch. Anyway,
yeah,
Social Network.
Actually, I do have a few things to say about The Social Network. Number one, I thought Armie Hammer was
brilliant.
Awesome as the twins.
Oh my God, have like a total sandwich with those twins, even though it's only one person. But they were
the Winklevoss twins. That's right, that's it. The Winklevoss twins. I was trying to think what their name was.
180 pounds, and there's two of them.
And it's
my God.
And it's amazing, though. It's like, if you did not know that it was actually one person, you would swear that there was two of them in real life, because the visual effects are like, yeah.
I'm actually a little upset that I do know. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because
that's all I'm going to be thinking about next time.
And also, did anyone notice Joseph Mazzello, who played Tim in Jurassic Park?
Yes, I noticed that. I was going to bring that up. I'm like watching the movie and I'm thinking, that guy looks familiar.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at him a bit more and I'm like, that's Timmy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He's not a little kid anymore.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, he was the third
Joseph
main Mabello. Developer.
I actually thought Justin Timberlake was terrific in the movie, because he really played like
he was
Sean
perfect.
Parker perfectly. I think I kind of have to him. I think I might have liked his performance a little bit more than Andrew Garfield. But, like, Andrew Garfield he's totally amazing in the movie, but for some reason, like, Justin Timberlake was more of the standout for me of the supporting cast.
Well, he said he actually spent time with Sean Parker.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of ironic that you got a musician playing Sean Parker, who created a website but pretty much was being sued for, like, illegally, you know, giving songs to people. So I think that's kind of ironic in a way. Or funny, I don't know. And also, another thing I loved about the movie, the score by Trent Reznor.
Yes.
Good stuff,
Which was amazing. And, yeah, and it's a fantastic film. I think it's one of the... I think after Animal Kingdom and Inception, I think it's the third best film of the year. And it's a fantastic film. And I think everyone should go out and see it. And it's funny, though, like, listening to people's, like, when they first announced... Then thought, oh, why would David Fincher want to go make a movie about Facebook? And he's taken this kind of thing, subject that everyone shat upon and made it a fantastic movie out of it.
Oh, he shat on it.
Kind of director David Fincher really is. I mean, he's able to take you know, a concept that probably everyone's going to shit on, as you said, and turn it into something, you know.
And I awesome. Did shit on it. I shit on it openly. Like, I couldn't.
I remember.
You know,
I remember.
And I eat every word that I said, but the only reason I didn't have any faith in it, I mean, I had complete faith in David Fincher and his vision. I already knew the story. I already knew who fucked who. I knew... You know, he was a fucking billionaire by the time he was, you know, 24. Fuck. Anyway.
What a bastard, seriously.
So,
where's my billions of dollars?
I feel so shitty now. But,
I'm 26 and I feel...
Yeah.
Well, I'm also that age.
And he's 26 now.
Actually, B, is it your birthday yet?
Tomorrow it will be.
I thought it was almost your birthday. Happy birthday, fuckface.
Happy birthday, dude.
Sorry.
By the time this podcast comes out, it probably will be, so...
I'll be nice. Happy birthday, nice person.
I'm
going
to buy a Mary Elizabeth Winstead, one of her movies.
Going to get
an
imitation blow-up doll.
If you buy me, like, her costume from Scott Pilgrim, I'll be very happy. I'll just take it up in the get a dummy to put the clothes on and have it at the corner.
Bede, hopefully by next week your birthday present would have arrived.
I hope so. I'll be upset if it...
I had to order it. I made it and ordered it online, so it's not my fault if it takes its time.
True.
That's all right. I can wait.
I'll name another one that I saw recently.
I just want to say one more thing. Like, after Facebook, which website do you think they should make a movie on next?
MySpace.
They should make a movie like Super Marcy and just have the rise of how Marcy became like the queen of all podcasting.
And who's gonna play Marcy?
You.
Well, I think you should. No. And Brad Pitt could play me.
Howard Stern. You know, all the cast members of Howard Stern's movie were, you know, they all played themselves.
Well, yeah, we could do the Super Marcy movie and play ourselves.
But I get Brad Pitt to play me.
But you're as good looking as Brad Pitt, Bede. Don't sell yourself short.
Actually, I'll get Meryl Streep to play me because, you know,
that'll
she can play anyone.
Too, yeah.
I want Ed Harris to play me if that's the case. Like the ferociousness of his arguments, and you know, I want a close up of his bright blue eyes whenever he's angry at, you know, like Michael Cera or something like that. Michael Cera is a fucking idiot. I hate that stupid untalented fuck.
I'll be fine as long as it's not Rooney Mara playing me, because I'm not that
boring. And David Mamet should write the script, since, you know, we say fuck a lot.
or is that just me? I think that's just me. That's
a mistake. Nice.
Or you get Paul Verhoeven to write the script and just, you know.
Oh, I could be Jesus if he writes the script.
Yeah, it'd be nothing but tits and blood and guts.
It'd be, she's it's... Jesus. She'd be Australian Jesus.
I've got five kids.
Okay.
All right, Nick,
yes.
Your turn.
Anyways.
This is Lee.
It's getting weird.
Nick, your turn.
All righty. So, I get to tear apart a movie.
Which I did earlier to everybody's delight.
Well, I was nice for my first movie, but the next movie, I thought I'd give it a chance despite all the bullshit that I heard about it. I grabbed it the other night and watched it, and I don't know what to say about M. Night Shyamalan at this point, but my God, The Last Airbender is just as bad, if not worse, than how everyone is advertised.
Is it worse than Eclipse? Because nothing could be worse than Eclipse.
No, it's probably not as bad as Eclipse. I mean, I was able to sit through Last Airbender. But I got to tell you, I don't know what the fuck has happened to M. Night Shyamalan. That guy used to be so good at directing a cast, at keeping a fascinating story going, at, you know, creating thrills and, you know, but keeping things very simple. But now he's completely lost his fucking touch. I watched that movie in awe, thinking, my fucking God, this is terrible. The acting is so wooden, which realistically is the director's fault. Because if the acting is that wooden, then he's not recognizing it, or he's just letting it go. And the story
doesn't help if you got Jackson Rathbone in the movie, because he's already a terrible actor anyway, despite whatever.
Yeah, but you know, I've seen him away from Twilight, and he's not half bad in both the acting department and the looks department.
Well, it's all about the director, isn't it? What was that chick you were just complaining about in Social Network?
Yes, but she's been in lots of movies and she sucks. And yeah, I mean, she had a really good director with Social Network, but she still doesn't have a personality.
That's where you step up your game, you know, kind of thing. Because
I cannot imagine how she's
going to
do in that Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She's going to sit there and be, it should be the girl that became a zombie.
So with
anyway.
And that's the thing, and you're right, and like, going back, just, I don't know, I just don't fucking get why this guy is still given big budget films. I don't think he should ever direct another film ever again. I don't think he'll ever get out of this slouch, but, I mean, The Last Airbender had such a potential to be such an incredible flick, and it should have been able to spawn an incredible series of movies, because, I mean, I've never really seen much of the Avatar animated series, but
I
know enough to think, wow, this could have been fucking epic. But, like, even the action scenes were awkward. It was horribly cut. Everything was kind of weird. I don't know. It's just a fucking weird movie. I don't understand this guy anymore. But, I mean, I'm not trying to turn it into a rant against M. Night, but... I don't know. Even Mark Wahlberg's come out against him now. But
we said I wanted to play a science teacher. Bad mistake.
I wanted to play. He's Mark. You're not a fucking good actor. So I honestly think he should shut the fuck up.
Excuse me.
He's a terrible actor, Marcy.
He is not.
Name me one other than the
Departed.
Hold on.
Say that again,
Pete. He wasn't in Dead Silence.
That was his brother.
No, that was Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
That was Donnie Wahlberg.
Not Dead Silence, sorry.
Who can act? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg can act in the form of his brother.
Donnie.
Well, he's looking nice, although that's probably... Yeah.
I mean, like, Mark, I I'm not going to go off into a huge tangent here, but Mark just cannot, like, it's not like Mark made the movie any more. It's like what I said in my comment. It's not like he made The Happening any more tolerant. He was fucking terrible in it. And I watched the trailer for The Fighter. oh my fucking god, does he look horrible in it. I only want to see that movie for everyone that surrounds him.
Shut up.
Say hi to your mother for me. But
giving you the finger.
Name me one movie where it's given a brilliant performance.
The Lovely Bones.
Mars, that about it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
The Lovely Bones.
Okay.
See ya.
I'll only give The Departed.
Boogie Nights.
Nah, that's terrible.
Well, Boogie Nights, I think it's more along the lines of the prosthetics than anything, but, you know, whatever.
Oh. Hey, I'm always upset. Do you see? I'm upset. I'm crying. Fuck off.
Shut up.
Put it this way, Nick. Do you think that he was on a power trip when he finally got a studio to agree to make The Lady in the Water?
Who? What, like M. Night?
M. Night. Yeah. Do you think he was on a power trip?
In what way? Like, what do you mean?
Well, they actually agreed to make this film that was basically something that he told to his kids as a bedtime story. It's like, is this a kid's movie? It's like,
and it's not a kid's movie at all.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's like,
it's the funny thing you hear about it. Well, I remember them talking about like how he signed the script deal and directing deal for Lady in the Water. Like, the studio, you know, picked him up in a fucking beautiful private jet, flew him in, you know, for his meeting with the studio executives, and he had full fucking, you know, massive, you know, seven-figure deals. And I'm like, and then it comes out and it's like the biggest piece of shit anyone's ever seen. And it's like, and then you think to yourself, there's no way that another studio is going to give him another big ass budget. And the happening.
I have to admit though, I don't think, well, I've seen Lady in the Water and I don't think it's as bad. Like, I actually kind of dug it. Like, it's not perfect, but you know, it's definitely not as terrible as people have made it out to be.
It's only saved by the performances as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think another reason, I think that maybe for me, it does too much over exposition of everything that's happening. Like, characters like explain everything that's going on rather than, you know, just let the movie flow naturally and we can discover it without, you know, every character explaining, like, what's happening. Like, I think if it did that, I think the movie probably would have been a lot better.
I don't know about that in some regards. Because, like, the part where they got the kid in front of the fucking cereal boxes getting him to translate words that are hidden in the boxes. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
What movie are you talking about?
The Lady in the Water.
No wonder I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but like, there's actually a good reason for that. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but, you know, I didn't think when that happened that was silly, but, you know, that's just me.
I think we're getting kind of
back to The Last Airbender, which I have also seen as well.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, I like I said, I didn't try to get into an M. Night rant, but
no, you were getting into a Mark Wahlberg rant and pissing me off, bitch.
Marcy, I love you. That makes it all better, right?
Well, I hope so.
There you go.
I agree with most of what you said, Nick, when it comes to The Last Airbender. Like, I think the movie would have been a lot better if it was like 2.5 hours long, because it only goes for like 100 minutes. And the movie, like there is elements in there that would have made a great movie. But I feel like the first movie is supposed to be like based on the first season of the show. So that's like, you know, I don't know how many episodes it was, but I'd say somewhere over 15 episodes, and it's hard to, you know, condense 15, possibly 20 episodes of a movie into a 100-minute film, because the first thing I kept thinking of when I was watching the movie and afterwards is that it feels like the movie was rushing itself, and as it was rushing itself to get through the movie, the plot just started getting more and more convoluted as it was just rushing along instead of, like, taking time and
to actually sit there and explain, yeah.
Explain, yeah, and like, it was just rushing. It was like rushing, and it's, like, that's what I mean. It should have been a 2.5-hour film and not like a 90-minute-plus film, because Like, so, it, like, I mean, we live in a world where a Harry Potter, I mean, can be 2.5 hours. I mean, even the Chronicles of Narnia were 2.5 hour movies as well. And, I mean, The Last Airbender does have audience. Yeah. I mean, why couldn't this have been, like, 2.5 hours? And I think the reason why is apparently Mike's movies have always been 90 minutes. I don't know why they have to be 90 minutes, but they do. And if you actually look at the running times of all of his movies, they're all the exact same running time, which is weird. So I think, and I do agree, the acting, especially from the young cast, are really terrible. Like, I mean, the actual kid who plays the last Airbender, oh man, I just wanted to was like groaning every time he's talking. Like when he did fight scenes and all that, that was like cool and all, but when he actually started talking, he was like, and which is weird because M. Night's usually good with child actors. He always brings great performances from them. And I don't know what the hell happened. Maybe these kids could not act. And Jackson Rathbone, he can't act for shit.
Well, that, and there's the thing. I say that is M. Night's fault. If he can't recognize that, then he shouldn't be directing.
I don't know.
Thing is with this film, the one thing that I remember about it was the fact that it was basically lost in the shuffle of the fact that the other Avatar film came out, and also the fact that there was controversy with the fact that you didn't have Asian actors playing Asian roles. It was just,
wasn't the Slumdog Millionaire in that movie?
Yeah, he was one of the only decent performances in the movie.
Yeah, him and the guy who played his father.
I know who you're talking about. Cliff Kurt.
He's a Kiwi actor, isn't he?
That guy's brilliant.
He's from New Zealand, that guy.
He is a New Zealand actor. Both of them are the only good actors in, actually most of the older cast, like the older actors are, like, decent, like, they're definitely not bad. It's really all the younger actors who are terrible. And I have to admit, even though there's a lot of bad moments, I think there are some good stuff. I mean, the fight scenes I thought were pretty cool. They weren't amazing, but they were cool. And the visual effects were all right. And also, visually, the movie is great looking. Say what you will about M. Night, but visually his movies are always cool, are always good looking, and I think this is visually his best looking movie. But yeah, it definitely is.
It was a major misfire.
It's a misfire. I didn't hate it as much as other people, but it was a misfire.
But as far as I'm concerned, for M. Night, this is strike three. You're out.
I think he's been out for a while. Maybe he should just concentrate on, producing movies.
Yeah, like Devil, which was fantastic.
Well, yeah, I think it's a point, Devil. I mean, that was probably... that was probably his best film since Signs.
I agree with you. Yeah, that he actually had his name attached to.
And I'll be seeing it next week for free.
Woohoo! You'll love it, Marcy.
I have to admit, I have a soft spot. I know a lot of people shit on this movie too, but I actually really love. I really like The Village. I think that was due to mismarketing because I think a lot of people expect it to be a monster movie, but it wasn't. Well, it has monsters in it, but what's that?
Just a shit payoff.
The ending definitely was very predictable, but it actually works in the context of the movie.
In that respect, it kind of got the fact that, it was by that point, people were okay, so it's M. Night. There's a twist at the end. It's okay, what's it going to be? And it's by that point, I think people were getting kind of annoyed with that. It's what's the twist going to be? But also, The Village was kind of,
it's definitely a movie that I think a lot of people should go back and rewatch because I know for a fact, that's a movie that a lot of people are starting to like now ever since it first came out. I think, a lot of people shit on it, shit on it, but now it's sort of getting a lot more respect from people. But, you know, that's just me.
I didn't like that movie.
The movie did introduce me to the beautiful Bryce Dallas Howard. So,
well, she was one of the good things about that movie.
She was amazing in it, and so was Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, and wasn't Adrian Brody a bit silly in that movie?
That big nose guy?
Oh, it was playing a mentally handicapped person.
Yeah, that's right.
I think he went a little. He probably went a little too differently abled. I was going to say full differently abled.
He was mentally.
And plus, you know, got Sigourney Weaver and William Hurt, who are always awesome.
It's on and off.
I thought they were both good in the movie, but you know, that's a movie I definitely want to go back and rewatch again.
I'm William Hurt, and I'm just going to act with my awesome voice, and that's it.
If I were William Hurt, I would act by awesome voice.
If I was William Hurt, I would hurt your face for being so mean.
Are you talking to me?
Nick.
What did I do?
You're being mean.
I'm not being mean. I just don't think he got nominated. Okay. He got nominated for A History of Violence, right? 5 fucking minutes he's in the movie, and he wasn't even that great, and he gets nominated. Yet Ed Harris is in it for almost half the movie, gives twice the performance, and gets nothing. What the fuck
is that? Actually, it's 10 minutes. I'm just saying.
I think he might have beat out Judi Dench for her winning an Oscar for being in a movie for 5 minutes.
I don't think she deserved that either.
I will say this, William Hurt is awesome in A History of Violence. That is all I'm going to say.
I agree. And Bede, it's now your turn to bring up a movie.
Yes. And I will bring up something that everyone could. Yes, everyone. Watch it, Nick. Okay, anyways. I got a movie, Marty, you'll be excited about. Because I only watched this last night, and it has one of your many, many boyfriends in it. And that is Breakdown, starring Kurt Russell.
Yeah, baby, Kurt Russell.
That's a good movie.
It's a really good film. I really enjoyed it a lot. Like, at the beginning, you're not, like, when Kurt's, like, you know, trying to find out, because, like, in the movie, his car breaks down and the truck driver comes past and, you know, to help out, and so he gives his wife a lift to the nearest, petrol station. So they went, and so he's sort of waiting, and eventually he gets the car fixed. He goes to the petrol station, he finds out his wife's there, but nobody's seen her. And then eventually he finds the truck driver who picked up his wife earlier, but the truck driver doesn't recognize him. And from there, for a little while, you're wondering, like, what's going on, and eventually it sort of becomes clearer as the movie goes on. It just becomes complete awesomeness as, you know, Kurt Russell becomes, like, this guy who's just normal, average guy who has to turn into a badass to save his wife. And it's
cool. But you know, always a badass. Do you know what his motivation was for that movie? He was pretending that his wife was actually me.
Damn straight.
Even though that makes no sense, but whatever.
He was fantasizing about you while he was with this other broad
the whole time. he loves the Marcy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like...
Who doesn't?
It is.
Why, thank you.
I was watching Escape from L.A. last night.
Did you think of me when you were watching it?
Actually, you want to know something? Every time I see Kurt now, I think of you.
I'm the same, too. I'm just thinking...
And I'm being dead honest.
I think of Ernest Borgnine, actually, but, you know... But that's only because Bede found that... Bede found that stupid link of him. It's like, how do you stay so? How do you keep going, Ernest? And it's like,
I'm masturbating.
That's haunted you ever since, Pat.
Yes, it has. It's like, I love Ernie. No.
Ernie is the man.
Why couldn't Lee Van Cleef say that? It was like, at least he would make that believable. I was like, Ernest Borgnine, no. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Poor Pat. I've destroyed Pat completely.
Yes. You really and the rest of the internet have destroyed.
By the way, Escape from L.A. kicks ass, and I don't care how much Awfully Good on Joe Blow says, you know, it's terrible. It kicks ass.
The only scene that sucks in that movie is the surfboard scene because it looks so fake.
It looks so fake, but it's Kurt on, you know, with the
I just found a picture of his bum. Sorry.
And then...
Why did my mind automatically try to picture his
as a plastic surgeon?
The Surgeon General of Beverly Hills.
Well, yes. And then, as Bruce says in his biography, his famous part with Kurt Russell was him saying work shed. You know.
Yeah, say work shed. I love that, because if you watch Evil Dead 2, it's like you know that's not Bruce Campbell saying it.
Well, it's probably him saying it, but it's just, you know, it's like overdubbed to the point of like, you know, it's like work shed.
Work shed.
Anyway.
Back to the breakdown.
Anyway, back to the movie. Anyways. Kurt Russell was awesome.
Oh, yeah, he was great at it.
Huh?
And one of the things I love about Kurt Russell, unlike other action stars like Stallone or Schwarzenegger and all that, Kurt Russell can be believable, like as a badass, like going around taking names and kicking ass wherever he goes, as like said Quiston. But he's also believable when he plays like a normal average guy, you know, who has not had a single badass bone in his body. And then gets into a situation where he has to, like, you know, become a badass. And that's very believable.
Yeah.
In a way.
Well, that's what you get. When you escape from L.A., when you get, you're trying to break out of the whole, you know, comedy Disney role. And, of course, you know, Escape from L.A. kind of did that for him. And so he's able to switch back and forth.
Captain Ron, baby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And of course, MacReady. MacReady, get your gear on.
Well, you know, like, Kurt Russell was the original, like, Disney child actor.
Yeah.
You know, in all those, like...
One that didn't blow his brains out by the time he was in his 30s.
Well, you know, he's still going, so he did the right thing. I wish I could go back in time and, meet Kurt Russell in his younger years, so I could be his lady, but, you know, there's no time machine yet.
The thing is that Kurt Russell is special in the fact that he's able to star in a Disney movie one month, and then a month later star in a movie like Grindhouse. You know, he's that type of actor. And he's able
Pina Colada. Yes.
He's very versatile as an actor.
He is. He doesn't do enough. I'm, you know, he really does not work enough these days.
I think that we're going to have to do
kind
a podcast
of hard to get along with, apparently, because of his, you know, his political views and the fact that he's kind of, you know, not exactly congenial, but, you know, it's Kurt Russell.
Excuse me, he gets along with me just fine.
Yes, we all know. Yes, we all know.
I think
in
the
dreams,
near future we're going to do it.
He is your slave.
Okay. My slave. I was going to say, I think in future we need to do just a Kurt Russell podcast dedicated all to him.
And that'll be you, like, having an orgasm every 5 minutes.
That'll just be me going, oh my God, oh, baby.
Just like, your heart just be flooded by now, and like, yeah.
I'm just going to go, hey, Marcy, Tango and Cash. Who can make her orgasm first to Kurt?
Thank you. Anyway, I think that's probably a wrap for our podcast, as it's got rather embarrassing.
Damn straight.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you guys for joining us for the podcast once again and having some interesting discussions. Yeah, until next time, Nick has been Canadian bacon. And
sizzle, baby.
Pat has gotten his Wahlbergs confused.
Oh, I'll never live it down.
Speed has been terrible as usual, and I have been super. Cult. So, yeah, catch you guys later.
Marcy's been sexy and awesome. And we're going to Comic-Con next year, so there you go.
Making it happen. Anyway, catch you later.
See you, everyone.
Sex in the City 2, Beat, how dare you? Thank you.